That's interesting. Turn the mic on. Is it on? No? Is it on now? Not yet? Still not. It's on now? Amen. Amen. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. Amen. God's grace is amazing. And when we look at our lesson today, the title of the sermon is the Ministry of Grace. Ministry of Grace found in 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to look at really just one verse today, but I'm going to read 7 through 11. So we can sort of go back where we've been and where we head. Next week we're going to talk about the grace of speaking God's word, the oracles of God. Today we're going to talk about the ministry of grace, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Amen. Amen. Peter writing, "But the end of things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Amen. That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you for all that you've done. This has been truly a blessed weekend at Christian Bible Baptist Church, and we only have you to thank, and we only have you to give honor and glory to. We ask that you would just continue to be with us on this Sunday morning as the man that you called to this church preaches, thus say the Lord. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We've covered these different graces that God has blessed the church with, and the people of God are blessed with. If you are a child of God, you've been blessed. You've been blessed with these graces. If you don't have these graces, then you really need to reevaluate your calling and ask God to empower you with them. Last couple of weeks, we talked about effective prayer. Verse number 7. He said, sober in your thinking, sober in your living, so that you can pray effectively. Then we talk about love. Second grace, probably the most important, and definitely the most important, because Peter says, above all things. He said, above all things, above all the graces, above all that you have fervent charity. That word charity means love. It's an agape love. Have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. So many relationships have been broken. So many marriages have been broken because there's not that agape love. A love that covers a multitude of sin. A multitude of sin. That love is precious to the church. Because we're not always going to agree. We're not always going to get along. Somebody's going to have a bad day when you're having a good day. And somebody's going to have a good day when you're having a bad day. Mm-hmm. And when those two folks clash, remember, love covers it. Love covers a multitude of sins. And then we talked last week about hospitality. Being a hospitable church. A church ought to be a place where folks come in and they should be welcome. They should feel safe. Your children should feel safe. You know, there's churches all over this country. We probably need to have it here where they're having meetings, where the elders and the stewards and the leaders of the church have to get together and make sure that the church is safe. that their children are saved. Amen. That their wives are safe when they come out to Bible study and in choir rehearsals. What a shame. And hospitality one to another. Now, you know, last night I called Dave and I said, man, these spiritual gifts. When I start talking about spiritual gifts, it just gets wacky. Because we live in a crazy world. But if you're here today and you're saved, some things have happened. Some things have happened to you. And when I look at it and I look at what has happened, when you got saved, what happened? First thing that happened, you were baptized into the body of Christ. We're not talking about water baptism here. We're talking about baptism into the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 12:13 said, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Greeks, or Jews or Gentiles, or whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. One Spirit. One Spirit. Then the second thing that happens to you, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are dwelled with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen a verse all the way back to Ezekiel. The Old Testament talked about it. Job talked about my Redeemer lives. Ezekiel says this. He said, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. How are we doing so far? I love Ephesians. And here's Paul in Ephesians. Paul says this is what happens to you too. He says, you're sealed to the day of redemption. Paul says it like this in Ephesians 1:13. And you can trust this. I remember my father when he was sick. And I reminded him, Dad, you're sealed. And it gets better. This isn't your best life now. And I told you, my father had tubes in his neck, he had tubes in his stomach, he had a feeding tube, he had a draining tube out of his stomach, he had a tube in his penis, and he was still praising the Lord. And I'm sitting here, Dad, you know what? There's come a time you don't need no these tubes. Ain't gonna be no more nurses, no more IVs, and. No one waking you up in the middle of the night taking your blood pressure and all that. You're going to be sealed. Paul says this. He says, in whom also you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after you have believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Listen. There's some folks going to mess with your seal. There's some folks out there messing with your seal. They picking at it and they trying to break it. They trying to tell you that it's not all what you think. And there is no resurrection and you ought to party and live your best life now. Listen. You save, you sealed. You save, you sealed. And the word of God says you sealed to the day of redemption. That's eternal security. Here's what else happens. You're born into the family of God. I like this one. 1 John 3:1-3 says, behold, what manner of love have the Father bestowed upon us. Yeah. And it's good to have a family. It's good to be in here on Friday and the families and the fellowship, folks laughing and eating and then fight up to Sister Claire and Brother Dave, and then, you know, able to honor our Sunday school teachers, Brother Jake and Dave, and their hard work. But they do it because they love it. They do it because we're family.
Amen.
Good to have a church family. Amen. It's just good to have a church family. You go to these churches today, don't even know half the folks. They got so many bills and they paying the preacher so much and the musician so much and paying everybody and can't have a couple of turkeys. Can't have a turkey dinner and then have leftover, have enough to eat again a day later. It's a fellowship. Church ought to be a fellowship. I know I beat you guys with it, but y'all's job is not to take care of me. That's God's job.
Yeah.
He and he's not doing bad. Well, he's doing good job taking care of me. I told Cindy this morning, I ain't going to church this morning. She just started laughing. I don't even think she said nothing. Told Vernon, he said, yep, same thing, right, Vernon? Listen, it's good to be. I just know the place I'd rather be. Than among my people, among God's people, and praising God's name, and listening to the young people saying, listen, Kaylin over there rapping. Behold, people, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it know him not. These things happen. One more thing, the last thing on the list. He gave us spiritual gifts. He gave us all the spiritual gifts. Every soul in here, if you saved, if you know Jesus Christ, your Lord saved, you have a spiritual gift.
Amen.
Now, spiritual gifts, we get crazy on this stuff, and I'm not going to get real crazy on it. I'm going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm not going to get real deep into this, because there's more to this lesson than talking about folks telling you if you don't speak in tongues, you're going to hell. And that's really what they really mean. And that's not true.
Amen.
Okay? If you look at 1 Corinthians 12 with me, and it's important that we clarify this, because we got some folks that persuasion to tell you, well, I don't want to go to that church because it ain't popping. You know? It ain't popping. Folks, you know, it's dead. Well, you know, if preaching God's word, verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept, that's how God said it ought to be taught in Isaiah chapter 5, it's just necessary.
Amen. Amen.
The job of the pastor is to prepare the people to meet the Lord.
Amen.
Let me say that again. The job of the pastor is to prepare his people to meet Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Now there are diversities of gifts, 1 Corinthians 12 and 4. But the same Spirit, let me tell you something, let me say this right now before I even go down this road. Any gift that you have that causes division, that causes problems, you can understand one thing, it's not of the Spirit.
Amen.
It's not of God's Spirit. God's Spirit is all about unity. And love and peace and joy. So if your gift is causing a division in the church, or a division among the churches or among the people, then be careful of its origins. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. You have a pastor, you have deacons, you have trustees, we have treasurers, but guess what? Same Lord.
Amen.
There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. And I guess the point I'm making when I talk about spiritual gifts, if God is not working in the gift, it's not a spiritual gift. You have a natural gift. Okay? Some folks have natural gifts. And God can use your natural gift. But it's going to be powered by the Spirit of God. Some folks will deny their gifts. It's, well, it's not my gift. It may be your gift. I heard you, Dave. But it may be your gift. See, a lot of times we make the mistake of, well, if it don't come easy to me, it's not a spiritual gift.
Amen.
Tell LeBron that. Tell Michael Jordan that. Michael Jordan came into the league. You know, he could jump. He could dunk. But he had to work hard on that mid-range jumper. He had to work hard on his defense. See, we have the spiritual gift. We have the necessary things.
Amen.
But if you're going to do it to glorify God, you're going to have to work hard at it. It's going to be sacrificial. It's going to cost you something. You're not going to be able to do everything you want to do and still glorify God.
Amen.
Mm. Gifts serving God is costly. It's costly.
don't need to talk about any more spiritual gifts because I'm not going to cover spiritual gifts. Let's talk about this. Every man has received a gift. We know this. We talk about reception. We know the gift. You receive the gift. Do it unto the glory of God. Work hard at your spiritual gift. Whatever it is, work hard at it. I thank God for some of us. Spiritual gift, just working in the kitchen. Rita is a prime example of someone's gift of help. And she worked until she can't stand. She called me this morning. Her feet hurt. Her legs hurt. That's her spiritual gift. And even though we got help here, she still wants to operate within that gift because that's her way of giving God glory. That's her way of giving God glory. Jesus came to serve. In Matthew 20 talks about Jesus, and I want to talk about just the gift of ministry. He says, "Even so, minister the same one to another." And I pulled the word out of there. As the people of God, we have these spiritual gifts, but the role of the spiritual gifts or the purpose of the spiritual gifts are always to benefit others.
Amen.
That's so important, and that's so neglected in the church. We have these gifts, and I'm saying, well, who's being edified by your gift?
Uh-huh.
Well, I do it in my closet. I do it in my privacy. God didn't give you a closet gift.
Amen.
He didn't give you a gift to use in your privacy. He gave you a gift to edify the church, to help folks.
Amen.
He gave you a gift to help people.
Amen.
And people need help. There's folks in here right now. They need help.
Amen.
Right now. They need help. And there's folks in here who have the resources. And I'm not talking just financially.
Amen.
Okay, I don't want to get off on that. Like, I don't talk about money a whole lot because, you know, God takes care of that.
Amen.
But there's folks in here that just need somebody to talk to.
Amen.
And young people say somebody needs to kick it with. I know I need you guys. I look forward to coming out and all the young people come to my office and talk to me and share with me. I think that's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
I never set foot in a pastor's office when I was young. Look at verse 10. As every man have received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. I have Jesus here talking about his ministry. I told you to turn to Matthew 12:20-28. It says this: even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. Jesus didn't come down here to be ministered to. He came here to minister. And if we're followers of Christ, we ought to be ministering to folks. We ought to be doing it. We ought to be doing it freely. We ought to be looking for opportunities where I can do some work for the Lord.
Amen.
I go to a church. I visit a church. When I was without a church, I was looking for something to do. I was looking for a ministry. Something where I can use my gifts and talents because I knew I had them.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus came to be ministered. He didn't come to be ministered unto, but to be ministered. But to minister and to what? Give his life. A ransom for many. Look at Philippians. We know this one. Philippians 2. We know what this one says. We say it all the time. But do we really take it into consideration when we come into God's house? When we look at our own personal ministry? And I'm not getting on anybody in this church. I think this is a fine ministering church. I really believe it is. I think folks, when we said we wanted to put a praise team together, folks just joined. Folks just came together because it was an area where we needed help. And no offense to Deacon Jeremy and Deacon Matthew, they just need some help. And folks came. Sound good today too.
Amen.
Look at Philippians 2. Talk about ministering one to another. Look how Paul talks about Jesus Christ in verse 6. Who being in the form of God. How about that? Who being in the form of God. Who is God? Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. How about that? And took upon him the form of a servant and was made into the likeness of man. stepped out of glory, set aside his glory, came to this earth, took on the form of a servant, and I believe that word servant there means bond servant. He started working at the door, wiping the feet. How you doing in your ministry? Here's Paul. I think this is fantastic verse and one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. In Acts 20, Paul's on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to Jerusalem to preach the gospel, to die. He knew he was going to die. And they had a prophet there, and back then prophets really worked. Okay?
Amen.
Now, if you have a prophet today tell you you're going to die, you know, don't really pay a whole lot of attention to him. But the prophets worked back then. They go, Paul, when you get to Rome, this is what's going to happen. They're going to hang you. They're going to kill you. They're going to cut your head off. Paul says this. He said, but none of these things move me. The man or woman that's going to do ministry is not going to be moved. You got to stay with the game plan. Somebody can move you off your game plan and then you got a problem. But Paul said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course. How, Paul? With joy. With joy. And here's the key. In the ministry which I have received of the Lord. God gave Paul ministry. Paul didn't deserve it. You go to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, and Paul tell you all his business. He was out of control. He was a bad man. He was a blasphemer. He hunted down Christians. But Paul said, God saved him by grace. And he never forgot it. And he said, I will finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord and to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's a great message. The grace of God. The grace of God. Romans 12:7 said, if you have a ministry, wait on it. Wait on that ministry. I always tell folks, I say, you know, you're not going to be good at anything if you don't love doing it. Amen. You're not going to be good at it. Don't even endeavor to take up something that you don't love it, you're not passionate about it, can't be good. That word wait on it means just to be occupied with it. Be occupied with it. Talking to ministers and deacons and elders and trustees, all the title positions here. Be occupied with it. With the things of God. What is this? 1 Peter chapter 4 again. And 10. He says, as good stewards. I want to stop right there for just a minute. As good stewards. Those that will do ministry will be good stewards. Paul says this about a steward, about a man who's a man of God who works for the church, or a woman of God who works for the church. He says this in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. I was at a meeting Thursday at my job. I ain't tell you these job stories, you know. Break it down a little bit. So I'm at an STG meeting, and STG means strategic threat groups. We track all the different games and find out what's happening in the game with the games, and who's moving up, who's moving out, and who's being rolled out, and what's going on, and who's selling the drugs, and who's got the cell phones, and who's getting assaulted, and who's the ringleader. And I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking about this as a good steward, you know, and Paul prefaces that. He says, as good stewards, not just stewards. Okay, Deacon Jeremy and Deacon Oliver and Deacon Matthew and Deacon Elmer. God don't want us to be just stewards. You can go to talk to some people at different churches, and you know, I'm a deacon. And as far as we go, I don't know. Are you a? Probably said a tithing deacon. You know, I say that too. No. Are you a good deacon? Are you a good deacon? That's the difference between being a deacon and a good deacon. Okay? Peter says these guys were good deacons. I'm going to get back to that prison story. I don't think I lost them. Okay? I'm at this meeting where I can relate to this because he probably headed up some of these. And our prison is just full of problems.
Amen.
Drugs everywhere. There we found just walking down on the yard, just bags of dope all over the yard. Cell phones coming in. I mean, folks being abused, sexual misconduct. And I'm listening to this, and this is what the inmates are doing. And I'm listening to this. And then I look around the room, and some of the most wicked folks are in charge.
Amen.
And I'm sitting here like, we got a prison full of problems. And I'm listening to the folks. I'm listening at them. The vulgarity. We got folks in management that's in office, you know, just cheating on their wives and drunks. We have incidents all over. And I'm sitting here like, these are the folks that's in charge. And we wonder why the prison is a mess. And I just look around, I had to shake my head. You know how I spiritualize everything. I'm looking around, I'm like, wow. This is messed up. We got inmates ODing on heroin in prison. ODing, dying. Imagine. You think the prison would be a safe place? Good stewards. Good stewards, good leadership. And Paul is, and Peter is saying, we need good leadership.
Amen.
Y'all know I go to these high school football games. Sometimes I wonder, I look on the sidelines, I wonder, these guys really good leaders for these young people. Especially these African American teams. I just wonder, that's what kind of leadership. These boys need help.
Amen.
They need to see it modeled in front of them.
Amen.
Faithfulness, godliness, they need to see it. Stewards. Let me talk about some good stewards in the Bible. In Luke, there's a man named Simeon. In Luke 2:25, it says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for the Messiah. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Matthew 1:19 talk about Joseph. Joseph, Mary came and told Joseph, listen, the Holy Ghost didn't knock me out. Wow. You know, I don't care how just you is, you know, your girl come and tell you, look, I'm pregnant, and it ain't by you, it's by the Holy Ghost. That's going to cause you some problems. Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her public example, was minded to put her away privately. He got some bad counsel. Okay? But because he was just, God was able to speak to him.
Amen.
See, the just man God speaks to.
Amen.
And we know the rest of that story. How about John the Baptist? How about a just man? Herod, evil as Herod was, he loved John the Baptist. He loved John the Baptist, not as much as he loved Herodias, obviously. See, he said, for Herod feared John. You know, I understand that. As a man of God working in a place like I work, I have people that really fear me. They do. They don't want to bother me. I walk in the room, everybody leave. I walk to the vending area, everybody leave. I know I'm self-defense this week. I got to take training this week. And when I walk into class, everybody like, oh, Lord. The light come in the room. It ought to be like that with all of us. We ought to be beautiful children of the light. Conversation ought to change. It changes when I come in because I tell them in a heartbeat, listen, I'm in a state facility. I have a right to a workplace free of hostility. Then they know I'm the EEO guy. So he's the EO guy too and a preacher. It's a bad combination. It's like what Ray's going through. He's got a father that's a preacher and a prison guard. How about that, Ray? How's that working for you? Ray's like, ain't nobody got like me. Okay. I love you, Ray. And I don't want you coming out there with me. Because you want me to come out there with me. Because I would have to put a nexus on you and you would have to go all the way down to Mansfield somewhere. So, you can't come to where I work at. So, just chill. Just chill. We'll just go to Chick-fil-A until you're 18. Yeah. That's good. I tell your kids the same thing, Dave. I talk to them girls.
Yep.
Talk to me too. Because we keep each other accountable. Those are spiritual gifts. We keep each other accountable.
Amen.
Honestly, I think about this. Let me share with you. I know I'm just talking. I'm not rambling. I'm just talking. But I keep my life in front of me. Okay? Because if I fall as a pastor, if I fall into some gross sexual misconduct, if I fall, I got folks looking up to me. I got folks that count on me, that admire me, that respect me. Hopefully I have some folks in here that want one day to have a husband like the pastor. Back in the day, that's how it was. They want a husband that's respectful, Kiss my wife in public. All that. Every time I see Cindy come in the room, I lay one on her. I want a husband like that.
It's all right.
I'm getting out of hand.
Yeah,
I'm reminiscing. I say this to all of us, men and women too. So we got some men and women out there these days. I walked through the store the other day and a woman gave me a card. She does massages. I'm like, really? I got sermons in my headphones I'm listening to. They just tell you how the world is. So I say, keep your life in front of you. Understand, it ain't just me falling. I got all my nieces and my nephews. I got my wife. I got my church family. I got folks on my job. I mean, I don't know how so many preachers do it. Honestly. Serious business to me. Y'all pray for y'all pastor.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all pray for him. And fellowship with him. And call him up sometime. Somebody hear me. Let me keep moving. I'm going to talk about a good story. A good story. Elmer, I'm doing all right.
Yeah, you're still all right.
All right. You're going to make a good deacon. Listen. Let's look at Paul says this about being a good steward. I want you guys to be good stewards. 1 Corinthians 4:1. He said, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ, the stewards of the mysteries of God. You know what it means to be a steward of the mystery of God? Paul's talking about the steward of the manifold grace of God. Understanding if you say what God has done for you. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. God called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has separated us and empowered us to live godly life. And we must, as men and women of God,
amen,
protect that. We must work at it. It's not easy. It's like you have a security system in your car and you go to beep, 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 beep. All you hear in the parking lot anymore. Do we have a security system on our passions?
Amen.
Do we? Good steward. More than required in stewards. I'm talking about a good steward. That a man be found faithful. Faithful. Be found faithful. Look at Luke 12:25. This is interesting. Because it talks about a steward will give an account. You're going to give an account. And I'm going to give an account. So y'all not going to talk me out of not preaching through the Bible.
Amen.
Y'all can have a vote. Amen. Vote me out, and I'm fine with that. But I'm not going to compromise.
Amen.
I have to preach this because I need you guys and girls to be empowered. To be ready. He's coming. He's coming. Margaret, he's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Look at Luke 12:35. It says, let your loins be girded about. You know, that's what we talked about this morning, Job. Gird up your loins. That's take a fight position. You're going to fight for your marriage. You're going to fight for your family. You're going to fight for your children. You're going to fight for your church. You're going to fight for your own personal holiness. You have to live up a life where you are girded up. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I got Rodney back there. We go to Planet Fitness. Sometimes it's rough in there.
Amen.
You know? And I introduce myself as pastor to everybody I meet. Y'all watch me. Okay? Some of them girls come in there. I'm like, where are you at?
Uh-huh.
And you working out in the bathroom. Shameful. Shameful. Just shameful stuff. Man of God, it is required that the man of God be found faithful. Look at the qualifications of a minister. And I think these qualifications apply to you guys. Okay? Because if I can't do it, you shouldn't be able to do it. The qualifications of a man or woman of God. Let's put it like that. I think that's fair. I think it's fair. First Timothy chapter 3. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a man of God, woman of God, must be blameless, the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine nor striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good man, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he had been taught.
Amen.
That he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. How about that?
Amen.
And all I did is substitute one word. Bishop. And I put down man or woman of God. That's how we're supposed to be. As man or woman of God. That's the expectation of me and everybody else that calls himself a Christian. That's the problem with the church. And that's the problem with the church. We do Sunday. We do Sunday. We Seventh-day Adventists. Serious business. Serious business. I see it, and again, y'all have a pastor working in prison. That's double whammy for you guys, because I'm so sick of it. You know, and I love orange. Honestly, I love orange. Y'all know I love orange, but I don't like orange jumpsuits. You know, and I come out in the hallway, and I see a whole line full of brothers. Whole line full of brothers. And I'm like, no, that was like the Cleveland Brown sideline. Handcuffed. And don't care. No, I didn't care. Huh? Get in the way. Get in the way. Get in the way, Dan. Love that you're here. Because I know you see it.
Amen.
Get in the way. Young people I have. Young brothers I have. Got to get in the way. Try to get in the way and try to help us. Who's eligible for grace? I think this is important. Titus 2:11 says, who's eligible for this grace? We already talked about Ephesians. We already talked about Ephesians 8. For by grace are you saved. But who can be saved? Who's eligible? Titus 2:11 says this. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to all men. You're going to be without excuse.
Amen.
I don't care who you are. You will be without excuse. You will not have an excuse. It's God's way or go to hell.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
This is a song. I'm listening to it. It's God's way or go to hell. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And one of my foster boys, Nicholas, like, Mr. Neil, play that some more. Every time you get in the car, you want to hear it. It's God's way or go to hell. I ain't got a problem. He said, put it on 16. It's God's way or go to hell. That's so true. How do I get this? How do I get this grace? How do I get this grace? You know, when I talk about it all the time, so many great stories in the Bible. You know what? Grace is activated by faith.
Amen.
You got to have faith before you can receive grace. And I think about it, and I think about the woman with the issue of blood. Before she could realize the grace of God, she had to exercise faith. But before she could exercise faith, somebody had to tell her about Jesus.
Amen.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, but faith activates your health, your grace rather. She got good health because of her faith, but somebody had to tell her about Jesus. Jairus' daughter was raised. She was sick. She was dead. By the time he got to Jesus, she was dead. Somebody said, listen, don't bother the master. She's dead. Jesus said, don't bother him. Somebody had told Jairus about Jesus. And Jairus exercised faith, got to Jesus, and Jesus blessed him. Just said a word. Somebody told blind Bartimaeus about Jesus. And blind Bartimaeus exercised faith. And by grace was he delivered from blindness. This is why we have it so important that we talk to these folks. Talk to your lost loved ones. Talk to your lost siblings. Talk to your lost kids about the grace and mercy of God. You need it.
Amen.
They need it. They need God's grace. They need God's mercy. Satan has no mercy on our young people. Okay? He has no mercy. Talk about God's grace. Hebrews 4:16. I'm almost done. 1-2. Hebrews 4:16. It's not Paul. There's no real writer of Hebrews, but most people think it was Paul. But he says this. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. You know, God is pictured as a man with a throne. And it's just full of grace. You know what? And our world is full of trials and full of tests and full of issues, but God has a wheelbarrow, a throne room where it is full of grace and mercy. I think about my neighbor. One of my neighbors is moving out, and I thought about it. She was riding down the street. They had this moving truck, and I'm like, I'm thinking about this lesson. I'm like, man, that truck reminds me of God's grace. It's just full of God's grace. I mean, God is, we call him a God of grace. He's a God of grace. He's a God of grace, and he's a God of mercy. And I believe everyone in here has tested that. I was talking to Roy. He was telling me about a horrible fall that his mother had in Cleveland, and she hit her head in stitches and unconscious and on the floor, and she's still able to praise the Lord.
Amen.
She's still able to thank God. She's still able to sing praises to his name. What a God of grace we have. It's not healthy to fall when you in your 70s and 80s. That's not a good thing. God is good. God is good. You know the last verse in the Bible? The last verse in the Bible. You know what it talks about? God's grace. God closes his word in Revelations 22 and 21. He closes his word with grace. With grace. Let me turn there and read it. I don't have it. I thought I had it worked out. I'm going to be done. God is good. His grace is good. And one of the great things about it, it's undeserved grace. We don't even deserve it. Look at the last verse of the Bible. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Be with you all. Be with you all. If you did a word study on the grace of God, you'll find this so often in the Word of God. Listen. How are we doing in our grace? How are we doing? Pastor, I want to grow in grace. What do I need to do? How does it work? This is how it's working. He uses His Word. God uses His Word to grow us. He says in 1 Peter 2 and 2, He says, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. He uses trouble. He uses trouble and experiences. Some of us have been in trouble. Some of us are stronger now because of the issues we had, the struggles we had. But he says this in James chapter 1. He says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. You get a good football team. And they play some good games and tough games. They're going to be tough when it gets tough. Now, I say, me and Cindy have some tough times. But our marriage is tough, strong, because of the trials that we've experienced. You don't get stronger by lifting less weight. I go in the gym, I watch folks. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? One plate? And then, you know, some of us are like that. We got one plate. One verse. We spend, you know, put some weight on the bar if you want to grow. Put some weight on the bar if you want to grow. Listen, get you a devotional life. Get you a devotional life. Get you a time of day where you make a personal commitment that you're going to spend this hour with the Lord. Oh, we don't have a problem watching the Browns for an hour. 2 hours. Doctor this. We can watch a lot of stuff. Just open up the Word of God and shut everything down.
Uh-huh.
Now the phone going to ring like crazy and everybody going to be knocking at your door and the guy going to come and try to sell you a sweeper and all this stuff. When you start a prayer life and a devotional life, listen, you want to grow? Y'all watch these young people here. They're growing. You might not think they're growing, but you're not going to come out here and study these songs and be in God's house and singing praises to the Lord and worshiping Him. You're not going to do that and not grow. Your children are growing. Okay? They're growing. And they're listening to me every week. I'm growing. I'm learning. I hope to be in 5 years a better pastor than I am now. I like this last one. Y'all know I do. He uses the fellowship of believers. You know, pastor, how do you grow? By using the fellowship. If you don't like being around saved folks, you're not going to grow being around unsaved folks. Okay? See, some folks have more fun with unsaved folks than with saved folks. All right, that's a real issue with me. Okay? I'm not saying you ought not have no unsaved folks in your life. But your best folks ought to be saved folks.
Amen.
You ought to be saved and you ought to attract saved folks. Saved folks. Well, I hate when I'm done. No amens on that. Okay. Y'all remember Paul in Ephesians 3. Paul was so thankful that God saved him. Well, you know what? If you were really saved and you've been through some stuff and you know your butt belongs in hell, but God scraped you up and saved you, you know how you're going to feel? Paul says this, and I promise you this is my last verse. Paul says this, I'm just going to read it, I'm going to sit down. Ephesians 3 in verse 7 through 17. Bear with me. Hold on to it, Vernon. He says, unto me, who am the less than the least of the saints, is this grace given, why Paul, that I should preach among the Gentiles, what Paul, the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Amen.
And to make all men see, talk about that this morning, what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To the intent that now unto
the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. What, Paul? The manifold wisdom of the God of God. Let me say that one again. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. The manifold wisdom of God. Church, you have a great responsibility. According to the eternal purposes which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith in him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And then he prays. Oh my God. For this cause, Paul, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. In the inner man. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Father God, for good speeches.